This episode is being recorded out of Shop Talk Podcast Studio in Oak Park, Michigan. For more information, visit shoptalkpodcaststudio.com.
I'm Santuan.
I'm Antoine.
And we the Connected Experience.
Bro, what's the Connected Experience?
It's a lifestyle.
The lifestyle.
Our lifestyle.
How that lifestyle been treating you?
Man, I can't complain, man. I'm here. I'm going. I'm moving. You know what I'm saying? Thinking about a new business venture to get into, man. So I got some moves to make to check it out, man. I'm just going to apply my... I'm going to apply who I am to different things, because I was going to work one day the other day and I was on the phone with my wife and I said, yo, like, I do such a good job at work and I'm only doing like, this is me at 10%. This challenge is nothing. This makes me feel stupid that they say that this is such a great job and this is nowhere near the best of any of my capabilities. So I said, I just got to get into something that I got to learn a new language and do shit like that. But how about you?
Same thing, man. I've been cooling. I can't complain, man. I was just thinking about something that I wanted to do for myself. It don't necessarily even have to be a business venture. I've been toying with a couple ideas in my mind.
And I think I want to start back with the model cars, man. Like that.
I just looked at my box of model cars today.
I just thought about my shit because I had bought like three that I didn't put together, I was thinking about them bitches.
I got
man.
An old school. That I ain't put together.
You know? I need more space though because I wanna turn my shit into what some shit like Currency got, dog. That shit is hard, like all the way around the board.
And his stuff not just models, because you see what he be racing. Them actually like small cars. He just got.
Yeah. So what's in your title,
Man? I was listening to X-Rated Unforgiven Part 1, dog. I had to take that shit back, dog. He was spitting crazy on that. That album came out in 1999. I think that might be the one of the top albums of 99, 2000, like, because it came out late 99, so late.
Extreme lyricism. Lyricism at its best.
No intros, no outros.
Nothing but straight lyrics. You know what I'm saying?
I haven't really been into his new stuff, you know what I mean, because I've been changing my musical palette, but I just like to revisit, and that album didn't disappoint me then, and it's still holding up. It aged very well.
Quality-wise and everything,
That's what I'm looking for now in music. I go back to anything that I thought was the shit, like, Prodigy, HNIC, that
it aged very well. You want to know something else that aged super good, man?
Yeah, I would like to.
Fat Rat with the Cheese, that album with Back on it, that shit, the quality and all of that shit aged very well. Yeah. What's in my title was Mark Nasty, man. He and they got an LBC. I got up on Mark Nasty, fucking around with Fig, Immunity World, Ace Boys, Back on Fig and all that. Mark Nasty is a rapper who used to be in the chat, sent Pun some of his music. Now they making shit, but he got a song called On My Mama, and that shit be going. I be in the gym off that shit. I could never love a bitch.
I heard that.
Nasty be going, man. So that's what's in my title, but we got a guest,
man. You know, like we had discussed earlier this year with ourselves, we said, man, anybody who reach out to us,
they can come on, man.
As soon as we can get them in, we can get them in. This young man reached out to us, what, Tuesday? Talk on the mic, yes. Yeah, he reached out Tuesday. I said, I'm going to look at the schedule. He here on Sunday, man. So, first of all, we appreciate you reaching out,
for
man.
Sure.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. We go help further your movement, man. So, go ahead and introduce yourself.
What up, man? My name is Baby Will, GNTG Baby Will, Baby Will 4684 on Instagram. I'm a rapper. I've been rapping since I was 14, 29. And I'm keep doing this.
All right, so let's get into it, man. First of all, you old enough to be one of our sons, man. Like, you could be our... Yeah, like we could... Goddamn. You was born in the 2000?
Yes, sir.
We graduated in 2000. Yes, you know what I'm saying? That's dope, man. So this is going to be interesting because, like, your whole... So we were just talking about an album that came out in 99. Nigga, you wasn't even here yet.
You probably don't even know who we talk about when I said X-Rated.
But we'll send you something so you can get up on it.
I mean, you up on Tech 9? You know who Tech 9 is? X-Rated signed to Strange Music now, but back then he wasn't.
He was actually in jail.
He was in the penitentiary for 25 years, maybe.
Making shit over the phone, which you would never be able to tell.
Yeah, right. Making shit over the phone. Psychoactive was the first album he made over the phone. Mac Dre is the first nigga to make an album over the phone.
Mac Dre put him on the game.
Put him on the game. He made Psychoactive. He had a song called Check Your Bitch. That's how we got up on him. And Check Your Bitch, he talking about the case. Mm-hmm. Right, because it was just a weird ass case, you know. It really was.
You can look the nigga up on the internet. He got all them type of hood war stories and shit about him because he's an actor.
It's 1999, Unforgiven Volume 1.
Worth listening to. But let's get into your story, man. You come from Puritan and 7 Mile. Explain how that come about.
Man, well, my peoples come from 7 Mile over there on last year, West 7 Mile.
Yep.
I grew up on Puritan. You know, I grew up on Puritan pretty much over there on Greenfield.
Yeah.
That's where I grew up at. That's where I lived at. But all my peoples, all my family, we all come from 7 Mile Ways.
Did that cause problems for you? Because with this being a worldwide show, Puritan and 7 Mile are both on the west side, but they drastically different.
Most definitely did. Like, I mean, back in the days when my dad was growing up on 7 Mile, you know, they had differences. Puritan and 7 Mile had differences back then. So I wouldn't say that it was hard, because a lot of people knew that mainly I rap 7 Mile. All honesty, my family and all of us have come from 7 Mile. But I just got love for Puritan. You know, I always came from there. I started my music on Puritan.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really no problems, you know, but that's at my time. You know, back in the day, it was a little bit harder and stuff. But for me, no, personally, everybody had respect.
You know, man, I went to a picnic on Puritan one time. This was like in the middle of their neighborhood. I don't even know Puritan. It's in the middle of their neighborhood, a basketball court. And
you told me about that. First of all, why in the fuck were you over there? Like,
why else would I be over there?
I go swoop a bitch from hoods and shit, right? But I'm not going to the hood. But that's like going to hood day in LA, dog.
I get it, though.
Like, what the fuck?
You know, and she was cold as hell, and you know.
So every nigga
looking at me, you feel me?
Yeah, who was this nigga over here?
I was strapped, and I had to.
This the whole neighborhood.
Ain't nothing jump off. It was mad respect.
A nigga going to a nigga hood day, like crazy. Picking a bitch up from the tight bitch too. Like the you ain't just, yeah.
Hey, I forgot where I met her at, and she was so funny, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That
yeah,
Chance and Rio. Remember,
you a wild nigga.
I mean, so, I been through some shit.
Yeah, so you had siblings. You got siblings.
Yeah, I got siblings, but I only got siblings from my daddy's side. I got one brother that's still alive. I got one that died before when I was born, I was probably maybe like 2, 3. So yeah. I ain't really get to meet him for real. But I got one brother on my brother's side, and I got a whole bunch of brothers that's his brothers. And no matter what, those are my brothers.
Yeah.
We are all brothers. We are all the GNTG.
What is GNTG?
Got No Trust Gang.
Say it again.
Got No Trust Gang.
Got No Trust Gang. Yeah, no, that's hard. I like that. Yeah, I like. Yeah. So why y'all ain't got no trust?
Man, growing up, period, you're going to learn lessons. You're going to lose friends. Yeah. You're going to lose homeboys.
And they'll still be alive.
I done lost homeboys that I grew up with. I done lost homeboys that I thought was solid. A lot of people going to tell you stuff, and it's gonna teach you them lessons.
Yeah, see, I feel that. And my trust issues is I trust you to be yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I allow you in my circumference or my area or whatever, whatever comes out of that, that's my fault. I can't blame nobody else for being there. Because I'm damn sure going to be myself. And what I realized about people is people don't like who people really are. They like the thought of who they think they are. Like, because, bitch, if you like me, or nigga, if you like me, if we fucking around, if we homeboys or whatever, then you should know my ways is my ways. You got to roll with my ways. If it's some snake ways in the nigga, I look at that like two ways. Like, where are we at that you got to be a snake? Because sometimes a nigga got to be a snake in certain situations depending on your environment. But if you snaking everybody around you, then them your ways, and I can't be mad at you for your ways. I just got to back up off of it.
When you say sometimes a nigga got to be a snake, I need you to go deeper into that, because I think when you saying a snake is based on my interpretation on what type of nigga I think a snake is, and you...
I mean, if Satan was a serpent, he still blessed motherfuckers with certain shit. So he had to be a snake. Like
that's not even a real story.
Like, but I'm just giving you the example that you asked for.
Right. And my
listen.
One nigga, right? Two scenarios.
Okay.
And I want you to see it.
Okay, so if you in a situation, right? Like, so say
nigga A.
I want my mans to be in a certain position, right? You know what I'm saying? But in order for my mans to get in a certain position, this other person got to be eliminated. But my mans don't got that. It ain't in him to do what it take to get to that certain position to eliminate the nigga. But it's in me. I'll do whatever it takes for my man to get to this position. Mm-hmm. Even if I got to do something to this other nigga, because that's the position my man trying to be in. I'm not a snake to my man. But I might have to be.
You are a snake, period, because for you to even think like that, you thinking that that position is only one position. It's no such thing as a position for somebody.
I'm just giving you a scenario. I'm saying the nigga's a snake, but I won't snake you, but I'll be a snake.
I can't trust that because you will snake a nigga, and at one point,
this nigga ain't this. No, man. So wait a minute, hold on, bro, because you need snakes. You need snakes because snakes eat rats.
Yeah, but
if snakes eat rats, you need more snakes than you do rats, nigga. If that's the game you in.
I don't need snakes. I just said if anything.
Just because I snake, no.
I'm next.
No, you're not next.
Snakes don't just eat rats. Snakes eat squirrels. Snakes eat whatever they can catch, nigga. Right? So I don't give a fuck about the rats.
I'm saying, bro, you could be a good nigga to some people and a snake to another. No. And some people are just trash ass people. But that's what I was saying. No, they not, nigga. But that's what I'm saying. So back to the guest, though. So I just trust people to be who they are because different scenarios call for different parts of people. So I fuck with that. Got no trust, gay. I fuck with that. Yeah. Hey, so how y'all come up? Y'all all rap or y'all just?
I'll say maybe two of us rap mainly.
Yeah.
One of us don't do it as much. He tried, you know. But when I grew up, I was growing up from 14 to 20 doing this rap stuff.
Yeah.
I pretty much took over.
Yeah. What made you pick up the mic, though?
I swear, I want to actually tell the story.
Please do.
Man, I was in middle school. And I mean, I ain't one of the biggest niggas in Detroit or in the world.
Yeah.
So I kind of was one of them people that kind of like used to get picked on, but I never gave a fuck.
Yeah.
So one day, it was some big buff ass nigga. Big buff ass nigga, and I ain't want to fucking fight him for real. I ain't gonna lie. He was a big ass nigga. I could hold my arm, but damn. You feel me? So one day, I ended up missing him, whatever. So I went home, and I was like, I want to see if I can rap.
Yeah.
I want to see if I can rap real quick. I'll make a little diss or something.
That's gonna make you want to fight you more.
Yeah. Don't lie. So I didn't. I went home and still just picked up a pen and paper. And I had wrote maybe like a 30-second diss.
Yeah. Was it hard, though?
It was hard. I ain't gonna lie. For my age, it was hard.
Did you go back to school to do it?
Yeah.
And what was the reception?
Actually, I posted it on Instagram.
Yeah.
All right, because you're a 2000, baby. Yeah.
I put it on Instagram and everybody from school and stuff. They was like, oh, they kind of knew what it was all about and stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess Dog found out about it, but I don't know what happened.
Friends, not ain't y'all.
Yeah, it's like he got respect for me or something. You feel me? Dog right now, you know, I mean, he cool peoples, you know.
He's still way bigger than you?
Oh, he big as hell. He's big as hell.
What's he up? Should be security there. You know what I'm saying?
I have to hire him one day.
So you go home, you write this diss record, this nigga, right? You know what I'm saying? And you come back to school. Now you got a certain level of attention because they like, oh, you rap. And then after that, how long was it before you discovered that you really wanted to do it? Because that was out of necessity.
It was just
to keep Dog off your ass.
That was just how I found out that I could actually probably do it.
Yeah.
I say probably about 15, though. I ended up actually being able to go to the studio with my mans and stuff. And he actually showed me the ways, you know what I'm saying? I was 15. He was showing me the ways. He kind of knew how to do this stuff a little bit more than me.
Shout him out. What's his name?
Can't do that.
Okay.
Only just for personal reasons.
Yeah.
But
anytime, I just said that because anytime somebody like help further you along and y'all still cool, I think niggas should be acknowledged by, people should be acknowledged by name.
Me and his relationship is like, it's a little shaky, but no matter what, I just say I got love and respect for him.
Yeah, that happened, though. That happened. It's just, shit, you know.
Especially for getting me to where, you know, I have been and what I have done with him. You know, we did big things, for sure.
So what high school and shit did you go to?
I went to Westside Academy over there on Southwest on West Warren.
Okay.
Yeah, West Warren and McKinley. They just moved that school, but that's where I graduated from.
Okay. Did you play sports or anything?
I played football. In middle school, I did boxing for a good couple years. I couldn't really take it serious. I had a shoulder injury from football.
Yeah.
But I did football all the way from when I was like maybe, I think, 7 years old all the way to 16.
Yeah.
16, and then I had my injury.
Yeah.
You know, what, you was a running back?
Yup, I was running back, linebacker, and wide receiver. I was kind of like a jack of all trades.
Yeah, and you still, like, while you from 14 to 16, you still taking the music serious while you was playing sports?
Yup, most definitely. I was doing both.
Yeah, yeah, that's dope. That's dope. So how do your family feel about you making music? Like, you Baby Will, is Pops Big Will?
Yeah, that generation, it go generations, man. Like, I'm the fourth in my name.
Oh, that's dope.
That's dope as hell, yo.
Yeah,
that's dope.
So, you know, I like to call it my granddad. I never met my granddads, neither one, my mama's side or my dad's side.
Okay.
But I like to call my granddad OG Jay, you know? Yeah. So he like OG Will, then his Big Will, then his Lil Will.
Yeah.
I'm Baby Will.
That's crazy because I do that with my family too. I got daughters and shit, but like we all got the same initials, but I'm Big AJ. Little AJ, Baby AJ, and Tiny AJ.
Tiny AJ on the way. Okay.
So I feel that, you know what I mean? Because it's like you can start your own legacy and have something to look forward to in the name to carry on.
Now, you say you your mom's only child?
Yep, I'm my mama only child.
So what was the difference? Did were your parents together when you?
Yeah. Yes. Yep, they've been married. They still married.
That's dope.
Okay, so like when you was the only one in the house though?
Yeah, I had my big brother coming around there once in a while, but pretty much.
So you were the only child. So, like, how was that being the only child growing up in the 2000s with both of your parents in the house? Because, like, so just a prerequisite to that is, like, our generation was a generation of it wasn't no fathers in most of the homes. It was fathers in the homes, but they was falling off. Yeah. And then a generation after us, it was completely no fathers. So you coming up in a generation where I got both my parents and they married. Did you see the difference in your household and your friends who didn't have? Or was it friends? It was more friends with both parents than it wasn't, because a lot of people say, like, around your age range, a lot of people had both parents. Like, so what was the difference for you seeing that?
Well, with me growing up, going in school and stuff, I kind of had a mixture of both. Some of my friends actually had their family, and then some of them didn't.
Yeah.
But, like, my insights on me having it, I mean, I would say it's kind of the same. Like, I know some people come, like, to hard stuff. Like, I could kind of get into my stuff. I had my mom and my dad, but my dad was always having little troubles. You know what I'm saying? My daddy had troubles and stuff, you know, me growing up. My daddy was in and out of jail sometimes, and, you know, he done had times. I done had times to when my daddy got shot. My daddy got shot when I was in high school.
So you older.
You know, I done seen a lot of things, and it's a lot of times to where, you know, my dad had to step away, and I had to be the man of the house and stuff like that, so... You know, I kind of had a mixture of both. Like, they were always married. They always held each other down. But
sometimes it's just me and moms.
Have it ever been a time where it was just you and dad?
Nope.
Yeah.
No, not just me and dad, really. We just always had times to where he always spent time with me. You know, even the times that he missed, it was always maybe, you know, not long. Like, from what I can remember, maybe a year.
Y'all still tight to this day?
Oh, yeah. We tight like a mug.
So how do we feel about you entering into this rap journey?
Well, my daddy, he is actually a retired professional boxer. He was state champion for Michigan.
Okay.
He would have went all the way. I believe that he would have been world champion most definitely, but he just had an injury that had to stop him. But I was going that way. I was going that way with, you know, me doing football. I wanted to go boxing, but like I said, I got injured. So he always wanted to see his kids do that. My brother, he boxed for a good couple years. I was a kid, but maybe about 5-6 years or so.
Yeah.
But he was boxing for a while. I wanted to take that route, but I got an injury. I got an injury in my shoulder. So I couldn't really do it no more. So when I found this skill to do my music, it was like, I mean, hey, I want to go all the way. And when I was younger, I could say that my dad, he was just kind of worried about me being one of these kind of like rap niggas that's just going to be out here, you know, just all in the streets.
Yeah.
Because the streets and rap don't go hand in hand. And a lot of people
believe
when you say rapper, they think that that means you're covering up for being a criminal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And, you know, that wasn't the route I was trying to do. You know, it's a lot of people that have went that route. It's a lot of people that have had accomplishments and failed.
Yeah.
You know, but that ain't the route that I was trying to do, you know. So my pops, he just kind of ended up seeing that as I was going on with my music and just keep going and seeing my progressive. And I was in the studio all the time. I got my own equipment.
Yeah.
I got my own studio at the house, you know. I got everything.
So I ain't in the streets. I'm in the house. I'm actually in the house more.
I'm in the crib all the time, yeah. Man. I don't even like going out all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Showing my face, you know. Yeah. Sometimes that could be dangerous in the D.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, that's dangerous everywhere, especially when you have a goal in mind.
Yeah.
And people don't care about your goals. You know what I'm saying? Like,
if they don't help, if it's not helping theirs.
If it's not beneficial to them, they don't care about that. So when did you start getting into the engineering stuff? Because you engineer your own sessions, right?
Yeah, most definitely. I started that around the time pretty much when I was learning this stuff from my man. After I learned that, I wanted to get my own equipment, you know, just so I won't have to just travel everywhere, you know, and go to studios. I could go right downstairs, get my little soundproof going on, get my little computer, you know, get the stuff going on and do it. So I say that, you know, once I got it, it was a little rusty, but I'm self-taught.
Yeah.
You know, I just looked at everything. I knew everything I needed, and I went and did that. I sat down hours, if it took all night. I learned how to do it.
Yeah.
So that's how I did.
That's dope. And you still do that to this day, right?
Not
do you engineer for other people or just?
If they ask me to, you know, if they need me to, I haven't even charged nobody to do it. You know, if I rock with you, I rock with you. I'm going to do it for you.
Right, right.
Yeah, most definitely.
So what was your first piece of equipment that you got?
My first piece of equipment was like just a little sound bar. Like first and foremost, you need a computer.
Yeah.
If you ain't got no computer, you ain't making music.
Yeah.
You need a good computer too.
Yeah.
So get you a good computer. Then you're gonna need a good mic. A good mic, because if you have a mic that's staticky or something like that, ain't nobody about to listen to your music.
Right.
That's
right,
the first step. Nah, it's different ways. When you mixing your music, of course you can make your stuff sound better, but
yeah, but them tricks of the trade, and that's what come with learning it.
That first step, you gotta have a good mic, because if you ain't got no good mic.
So what was the first mic you got? You remember it?
The name of it. No, you want to know, all honesty, it was probably like maybe 6-7 years ago, and I got it off a website like Temu.
Yeah.
But it was a good little price. Like, it was probably like $50, and it never gave up on me. So I can't tell you the name, but it worked good. It worked great.
And then you just, after that, you just start improving your equipment.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. So what do you mix on? Like, what program do you mix on or that you like best?
I started off on actually, I still work on this one the most. If I'm doing my own music, I work on actually BandLab.
Yeah,
BandLab. Still do BandLab because it's just where I'm from, you know, like, it don't change it if it ain't nothing broken.
That's how I feel. Plus, so, you can master that.
Yeah, and they upgrade, you know, they do a whole bunch of stuff, you know, throughout the years of me rapping, and I learned different secrets and stuff, so I ain't just going to
abandon it.
Definitely, and everybody like it. So.
Yeah. Talk to me about All for God.
Okay. All for God is actually where I all started, where the first place I actually, like, stood in front of people in the crowd.
Yeah.
I perform a lot now, but when I was a kid, every week I was rehearsing, I was doing mime ministry.
Yeah.
That's literally where I started from. I was maybe 3-4 years old. My mom took me to a church over there on Puritan.
Yeah.
And she had told me that we was just going to a little church event.
Yeah.
And just seeing somebody practice and stuff. And once I went there, I just seen a whole bunch of people up there, and they was doing this little dance routine.
It was popping too.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there bored as a little kid. I'm like, that looks so fun. Yeah. Like, that looks so fun right now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Mama, can I go up there?
Yeah.
You know, my mama was kind of not the one that restrict me from doing stuff, so. Yeah. It was a older lady that was sitting next to her, and she was like, go ahead, let you loose.
Let him go up there, baby, type of shit.
My mama said, bump and go ahead. I done shot up there. I done ran up there, and they was like, who's this little golden boy with this golden hair? Oh, my God. Ever since then, I've been with them, and their name is AFG All For God.
Yeah.
That's where I really started from. They took me in, and they are my God family now.
So this like a praise team type of deal.
You said mime, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You know, with the white face paint.
And you do that?
I I did that.
Yeah.
Straight up. Straight up. Yeah.
And I mean, I loved it to this day. It's stuff on YouTube to this day. I don't care how big I get, I'll still be.
That's nice.
So you could toss on the joint right now and do the whole.
I still could do it right now if I wanted to.
Because that's a real skill in the art. Yeah.
I still remember my routines.
Yeah. And I think people don't think that people practice for like being the mind. Like they on the outside looking in is like what they doing, but it's like, no, all of these motions and stuff mean something.
Yeah, we have to practice maybe sometimes 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
A week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's dope.
That's with our own, like, too.
So you still be rocking with them, like, you go up there and watch them and stuff from time to time?
We don't do it as heavy no more. It really stopped after COVID.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff stopped so much.
Yeah, because, you know, COVID was the reset of, you know, it's a whole new world after. Yeah. That was like, when I sit back and think about it, that was the easiest way to possibly reset the whole world, and nobody would challenge it. If they were trying to break it down and reset,
When you say challenge, you mean up in arms.
Up in arms, I mean, arms. Knock some shit down. So that was a perfect day. Yo, it be some cold plans out here that work.
I think so too, man. I think, but that's why I also think it's like, it might be 12 people in the room playing it.
You know what
I'm saying? Like,
but I also,
you gotta think, okay, you want to know when I really came to this conclusion, like, oh, this is really a plan, when it clicked, when everybody started rapping about FNs, right? FNs. Because FNs was like to the street culture, brand new. These are pistols
that shoot
AK bullets, mini AK bullets, and everybody talking about it. How do the whole
rap industry
community know about this?
Yeah.
Right?
This is for the elite. This should be for the elite.
So I was like, oh, like they tell, and then the same thing with syrup, right? Mm-hmm. Because now down south in Texas, they've been doing syrup. In Philadelphia, they was doing syrup, but and with rap, it was purple stuff. But then, like, that's all they put in your face. Oh, this is a plan. Like,
this is a marketing.
This is a human algorithm. This before you get to understanding what the word algorithm even mean. When I was a kid, we never heard that word. But it's like, oh no, all of this is really algorithms. And if it's not positive, which won't be popping, it's pushing us toward destruction. So talk about your music. What kind of direction do you take in your music?
Well, his shit hard. I just heard Paid in Full. Yeah.
So talk about Paid in Full.
I can say this. When I look at my music now, at my age, from all the way from when I started, I feel like I really kind of went with the culture. You know, like even like a couple years ago, in the city, even just like in Michigan, period, I was listening to a lot of Rio, a lot of Rio, the Young OG. I'm young too, so I was listening to him, Louis Ray. YNJ.
Yeah.
They had Gucci Master, all that going on. You know? That's the route I was going. If you go back in my songs, I swear y'all gonna hear me talking crazy just like them, like just saying little wild.
That's elite wordplay. I think Louis Ray, especially Louis Ray, is wildly underrated.
Shout
out to Louis Ray. He hard. He is hard.
Yeah. Now, I haven't been seeing him as much in the public facing. I know he, but like I used to, I just used to be really tapped in, but he hard, dog.
They all hard,
but like Rio had blew so big, and then to the public, it could look like Rio man.
Yeah.
But when you artists, it's like, nah, bro, we together, but we even got our own fan bases.
Yeah,
we share some fans, and then some of these people at this show here for my verse, like some of them here for your verse. When you was young on that mic.
Even when they had, you know, like songs together, YNJ, Louis Ray, Rio, I mean, everybody had their own little taste in it.
Yeah.
That's what made them what they was.
To the Moon is my favorite song, by the way.
To the Moon is so
high. That's my favorite song.
B&B Pac-Man, though, he got some crazy wordplay, too. But he a Flint nigga, too, just in Houston. But that new crop of Flint.
Yeah. So what would you say about your – so you said that you used to follow the culture, and then I heard Paid in Full, and I wouldn't say that you was following the culture. You standing out a little bit. Yeah. So what made you realize that you wanted to change the way you was coming at it?
Getting older.
Yeah.
You sound crazy. This nigga 20.
Yeah, being older, man. You know, from 14, your mindset from music and what you want to say just change.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's more of a responsibility with your music, or do you feel like I just want to evolve as an artist?
I think both. like it's a responsibility because I feel like me and other people want to see me make it now.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people is in my circle, a lot of people is in my corner, not even just family.
Yeah.
A lot of people look forward to my next songs now.
Yeah.
A lot of people really want to see that. Feeling. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it just keep you pushing. But yeah, I would say probably with this new song, I just kind of wanted to just get a new insight on stuff, you know, like not just shit talking on songs or just saying anything, actually digging deep.
So you called it Paid in Full and you got the sample of Cam telling that nigga, that's why you need soldiers, nigga, that's why I'm Rico, that's why I do what I do.
You know,
let's talk about Paid in Full, the movie, because shit, that came out in what year? Was you alive when that came out?
No.
Yeah.
About. So when do you remember when do you first remember seeing the movie?
Man, for one, I'm going to just say this. My parents started me off young. I was watching Friday at 5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was watching it. It's just, hey.
Are your parents young parents? Like, or?
Oh, my mom had me at 37. My daddy was 33,
yeah.
I think. So, yeah. So they actually was
older. They was
young,
adults.
Older.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. Like I had my daughter when I was 35. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
Yeah. So the first time
who
that you
put it on for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say.
My mama.
Yeah.
My mom. She from California.
Oh, okay.
She from California. So you.
Oh,
know,
what part?
Over there. What is it?
It's all good.
Yeah, I can't remember it off rip, but I could tell you that she grew up literally around the corner from where they filmed Friday.
Oh, so she
from LA.
Yeah,
she from LA.
From LA for sure. But
oh, you saying
you
trying to get the neighborhood?
Spot. Yeah, little spot. But
is she? This is about to sound crazy, but is she like was she active in the gangs and shit?
Nope.
Okay.
No, she wasn't. She was she had a hard life. Grew up without her mama. Well, with her mama, but without her mama a little bit.
Yeah.
My mama had a whole time. You know, she had a whole bunch of things going on. She know how I feel to be homeless. She know how I feel to actually grind for stuff, you know.
Right.
But she actually never did that. I mean, she done had some street.
So she
moments.
Tossed that Paid in Full along for you.
Oh yeah.
And that shit, because like I can like when I was little, and now that I look back, movies we was watching, Colors, Blood In, Blood Out. What the fuck were we doing watching the movies? But and it shaped us.
Watching Blood In, Blood Out. Let me know.
I ain't never want to go to prison.
Penitentiary.
For sure, especially in L.A. I mean, especially in California. That shit was scary.
You ever seen
nigga?
Blood In, Blood Out?
I actually seen that about maybe 3-4 years ago.
God, you watched the whole movie?
Yeah.
And it was a funny moment. It was like so. Blood In, Blood Out got some classic lines for us because we be talking shit to each other, but other motherfuckers would catch that it was a classic line. So back to the Paid in Full. How did you feel about the movie? Like, how did you feel about Alpo with Rico?
Rico disappointed me because, I mean, I knew he was the head, you know what I'm saying? Like, if anybody needed something done,
yeah,
it was him.
Yeah.
But come on, man, you gonna switch on your mans like that?
That's what I was waiting for you to say. Like, so people tell this, people talk about this story for far and wide, for decades. Like, whoever said that Rich and Alpo was friends just because y'all seen them getting money together? That's the misconception people get. What made people think they was friends?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You gonna make money with somebody that you ain't cool with?
Would I be into business with somebody that I wasn't cool with?
Yeah, like you
definitely
straight up not cool with.
Definitely. Right. I'm about to tell you why.
Everybody
people do that every day. People go to work and hate their job. That means they not cool with the job and they make money with them every day. So definitely, I look at it from a... But the street said they was friends. Nothing about nothing that even Alpo said in interviews like, yeah, I liked Rich, but he never say that they was friends, bro. Because I think people take the word friend too lightly, and just because we getting money together don't mean we friends. We have a common interest. We have a common interest. We teenage millionaires. I'm a teenage serial killer, and we teenage millionaires. You know what I'm saying? If we getting money together, it's easier to get money over here. Because when Dog said he wanted to go to DC, guess what? None of his friends went with him.
Yeah. Most definitely.
And look, that could have made him feel a certain way, because I thought we was friends.
Most definitely, I said that too.
Yeah, I thought we was friends.
I just think, especially in the, when it comes to the street life, you know, a lot of things go into the street life, right? And number one is where you grow up, your proximity. So you think these people your friend by and because of proximity, because we grew up. Because
we all from 7 Mile.
We all here.
We all
from here. Like, no, nah, my nigga, because really,
we're only from here.
But really, I'm from Puritan.
Right.
And if I ever got to get into it with the 7 Mile niggas, I can go to Puritan. You feel what I'm saying? Because this is just where my family from.
Yeah.
So, and of course, that's just using that as an example, no, right? Yeah, but people think because we grow up in the same neighborhood that we're friends. No.
Right. We grow up. He got the dope. I got the weed. Yeah, he got the lean. Hustle. He the one who know all the white people because he go out of, you know what I'm saying?
It's all so it's
because we'll do all of this same stuff in this line of business with people we don't know. Nigga be, oh, my nigga over in D.C. How is this my nigga? I don't know this nigga. Yeah. But the common goal is the money. So back to your question, yes, I could get money with somebody I know that I don't fuck with. We're not enemies because it's no friends or enemies in business, bro. The tables always go turn. Right now, you might be into rap and you might be beefing with a nigga and you hate him in rap. And in 15 years, y'all niggas is the link to each other being co-owners in a basketball team.
Right.
You're not going to be like, I hate that nigga guts because of rap. You know what I'm saying? So you got to think about that. Once I seen Paid in Full and I got older and I seen how the story is being marketed, because that's a whole marketing story, because they make you think one was so beloved and the other one was hated.
Like a steak.
Right. But that don't seem to be too true, because the one that everybody hate is the most famous one and he keep the story going. Yeah. That's why the story kept going, right? So I just think of it as I never could say that they was friends. Nothing about watching that movie, nothing about hearing them speak would make me say they were friends. They were coworkers.
They was coworkers, and you got to think why they was coworkers based on the movie, right? How did they get cool? I saved your life.
Yeah, most definitely.
So I always look at it like, nigga, you owe me one. You feel what
And
I'm
you
saying?
Always look at it like that too. And not only did I save your life, when your other man's got shot, per the movie, I'm the enforcer. The enforcer, the murdering nigga, and I'm a hustler. Right. That's the most scariest nigga in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because some hustlers not go murder you, and some murderers can't hustle. A nigga who could do both, and I know y'all can't, he the scary nigga.
Yeah,
yeah. So to get to the top, you got to do some shit that other people deem wrong. And other niggas might have been like, yeah, that was spot on if the story is true about why he say he did that. Because you would have did it to somebody else in that line of business. We're not friends. That's like thinking all NBA niggas like each other.
Hate each other. Hitting each other. Wives. Most everything.
Right.
I couldn't even.
teammates. Fucking each other.
How am your teammate hitting your wife, bro? You ain't even.
But we in a championship picture like this, though. We hugging, and niggas would be like, oh, them niggas friends. And you feel me? So I just never thought they was friends and paid in full.
The goal is the goal. If the goal is money, and the outside world got to think we friends, they can think what we want, right?
Hey, I say this: if his mentality was keep it street, you ain't my homeboy, I'm about to do this. I kind of.
But sometimes though, you don't even have to tell a nigga that, because remember why we friends? I saved your life.
Yeah.
I already think you a hoe.
Most
yeah, I saved
so
your life. Yeah.
If I already think you a hoe, I'ma show you that. Every chance I get. You feel what I'm saying?
But I ain't gonna let nothing go wrong that it fuck up the money.
No, every chance I get ain't even hoeing you. Every chance I get that I know you wouldn't do something, I'm gonna do it. Cause nigga, I saved your life. I know you ain't. You feel what I'm saying?
You ain't gonna do nothing. You definitely ain't gonna do nothing to me. You feel what I'm saying? Oh, your other man's getting money too? He definitely ain't gonna do nothing to me neither. So I just look at it like niggas be thinking just cause niggas getting money together or whatever, that they friends and all of that. And no, man, these niggas really be just co-workers. Like, everything, no matter legal or illegal, is a line of business, bro. And in that business, you're going to have co-workers, or the business, or it's not business if it's not co-working together. So when I see movies like New Jack City, right? Like, G Money and Nino wasn't friends, man. They was not friends, man, because
Nino always looked at G Money as a nigga under him. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I thought of this. G Money, the one
who hit the crack. G Money jumped in. Oh, in the bitches. You know what I'm saying? Like, G Money introduced him to the crack, but he knew G Money wouldn't do certain shit that he would do.
Like, fuck his bitch.
Like, hold the little girl in front of them when they shooting that shit up. Like, G Money would have never did that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nino was a girl. Yeah. You're a murderer, Nino.
Slime ball ass.
It did toe. Yeah. That's why that old man yanked his ass down for telling. Yeah. You bitch ass nigga, you got up here and told. Jealous of the light skinned nigga.
Educated
motherfucker. Yeah, man.
So, anyway, so how many times have you seen that movie to even want to name your single after it?
I've seen it a whole bunch of times. Over 10 times, over maybe.
Okay, so you probably know the lines and shit, right? Yeah. Do you ever watch it from a different point of view? So movie, I asked you that, right? Because movies I seen a lot of, right? I start watching thing. From the... So the first time we seen it, we just watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But AZ, Ace, is telling the movie. So we automatically got his point of view. Yeah. So the next time I said, let me watch it from Mitch's point of view. And then that's how I came to the conclusion, like... Everybody point of view different. They not friends,
yeah.
Right? And that's how I started looking at life from just everybody point of view, right? So I just was thinking this earlier. Like, I started looking at this shit like a chessboard, right? When you coming up, it's a bunch of us. Mm. We all pawns. And as you get stronger, the number of pieces that's the strongest decrease and decrease and decrease. So we need a lot of pawns first. Then it's two rooks, till eventually it's just one king, one queen, and then you can do some shit, get you another, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when I started looking at it like that, it's like, oh, dog, I got to look at this from
everybody's point of view, man. And that's why I asked you, would you chase a quarter?
No.
And a nigga, so I heard a nigga say, if you dropped a quarter and it started rolling, would you chase it?
That's a real question.
That's a real question.
I'm straight.
Right. And the nigga said, I wouldn't chase it because of how it looked on the outside. And the quarter eventually goes stop. The quarter is going to stop. But how it looked, how it's perceived on the outside, like, yo, what is this nigga running around looking at the ground for? Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is look and wait for the quarter to stop. You know what I'm saying?
For a Pokemon.
Yeah. So I wouldn't chase the quarter. But
you shoot your own videos too, huh?
Nope. I don't shoot my own videos, but my brother is in he's actually in the work of trying to get his ways.
Yeah.
We all self-taught.
Yeah.
I know, but I wanted to ask you about the paid in full video since we talk about videos. Who is old girl shaking ass in that mask?
I'm on little boot down.
Okay, yeah, because I'm like, I wonder why you got the mask on. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. It's post-COVID, and you can walk around with a mask on post-COVID. Yeah. But that was dope. I was fucking with
it, man. Definitely. I felt like the mask just brung a little bit out. I had a mask, too. I think I pulled it down on the part.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like the little part of the video, though, for real.
Yeah.
We just wanted to wear them and stuff. We had them.
How's the song performing for you, though? People catching on to it?
Yeah, it was lit. Like, I went all the way down there in D.C. I was down there in Washington, D.C. I had recorded down there at a nice little park in the hood down there. And it was lit. It was real lit. You know, everybody was just looking around me. I just went down there and put it on the scene.
My sister live in D.C. Hey, man, D.C. a wild-ass place, dog.
Guaranteed.
That shit is wild. Yeah. But yeah, DC.
Know why it's wild? It's the country capital. Every crime is federal. Could you imagine having to go to jail for 90 days in Florida or California because of parking tickets?
That is horrible.
Everything. Nah, but fuck all that is wild, man. Because them niggas is nuts, nigga. Them niggas is nuts, man. I wonder what jerk chicken tastes like out there, man. That sounds crazy, but you know it's a strong, you know what I'm saying?
They got a strong Ethiopian community, too.
Yeah. Have you ever ate any Ethiopian food? Me neither, man. But I'm about to switch my diet, man. Not to Ethiopian food. I'm just saying, in general, I'm about to switch my diet, son.
So what's your biggest thing, like, that people react to the most? Because, like,
it's gassed up, I think.
Yeah.
It gassed up.
Gas
up, yeah. Well, just the story behind that is that I was actually just, you know, a lot of stuff, I just be sitting back. I sit back and listen to beats 24/7. Yeah. I got so much stuff that I have in the vault or that people sent me that I just want to work on. So one day I just played that beat. And and something just clicked in my head, just like it was just something that was repetitive about the beat, you know, like it was so repetitive with that boom. It was like a little snap with it. So I'm like, bro, this beat is literally gassing up, dog. Yeah. Like, this beat is gassing up. It's nonstop. Yeah. And then I just tried to come up with some little verses, and it wasn't really going good. So I went back to the gas up, and, you know, I was like, gas up, what can I put with that? Gas up on niggas, like I fucked the brakes up. And everybody was like, damn, that's hard. Yeah, and then, you know, a lot of people like to use it for when you're not smoking. It's a smoking vibe, you know what I'm saying? You could gas up. I got my hook on there, roller wood, gas up.
Yeah.
So that song.
What you really putting in the woods, though?
That's I.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You fuck with Mac Dre? You listen to Mac Dre?
Yeah, I listen to him just a little bit.
Yeah, you got to fuck with the Mac, man. Like, something about me is telling you that you should tap into a lot of Mac Dre, man.
Y'all got to send me some stuff, man. I'm all about the old school, though.
That's crazy that he just said old school. But the Mac been dead for 20 years.
Since 2004.
November 1st.
I love the Mac. I'm excited for you, man, and I always say, like, it'd be crazy because we had people on here, and then we just watch them, and then they come back, and they feeling better and looking better. So I'm excited, man, and I'm excited
to watch your journey, man.
Where you go. And, man, you seem like you locked in, man. Never lose that hunger, that passion, because that's what's going to take you there. I mean, it's music, bro. It's up and down. Success is
subjective, man. The best advice that I could give to you is just tap into your tribe. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because people say they want these cult followings. Well, the real truth about a cult following is more people don't like you. That's the beauty of a cult following, that the majority don't like you in this core group. Even if it's 100,000, you want 100,000. You know what I'm saying?
It's 5,000.
Yeah, because if it's 5,000, you could tap into whatever it is. But like, when you building your fan base, just of course everybody want that big single, that mainstream. I don't even know what that means nowadays.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, but everybody want that, whatever the look is for the moment in the time. You know what I'm saying? So while you on your way, don't ever look over what you're doing on your way to that look. Is what I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? Because you 6 years in the game, you gonna be at a ten piece in a minute, man.
Most definitely.
It ain't gonna
stop too. I mean, I feel like if I ever blow up, or even if
what
I
you mean,
we don't talking if you blowing up, nah, nigga,
blowing up, nah. This part of it.
Most definitely.
Yeah, we don't talking if this this important. Everything is important. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Every step is important. So whatever you think the biggest podcast is, right, or whatever interview thing, whatever you think the biggest. Mm-hmm. On your way up to there, it's gonna be shit like this that when you be like, nigga might be like, this might be your first interview, and you'll be like, nah, but my first interview was with the Connected Experience, and then. A lot of niggas got that story.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
we just don't talk in ifs, maybe.
We don't say if. We don't say maybe. You doing it right now. This is a step to wherever you go, wherever you want to go, bro. You locked in already. You there already. You just got to take the steps to get there. You know what I'm saying? And you going, bro. I see forward motion, bro. So I'm happy that we got an opportunity to meet you. Definitely go keep our eye on you, man. And we know a little something, so you might want to hit. We might have something to offer you just to help you out, just on your path or your journey.
What's next for you? You got the two singles. What's in the works for you?
Well, right now, almost every single weekend I've been performing. Shout out to Detroit Got Talent. I'm a member up there.
Okay.
They took me in. I've been with them for maybe about six, seven months now. And they show me nothing but love. They give me every opportunity that's in the work. You know, I be getting opportunities. I just actually performed this weekend. It's for a little place they call it Put the City On. And they be everywhere. They go everywhere, nationwide for real. But Put the City On, they gave me an opportunity to come out. You know, I was supposed to try to win to perform for T Grizzly on Saturday. It was to win to perform for him on Saturday. I came in third place out of a whole bunch of people. That's good, you know, and that's nonstop. I'm going to keep going.
What did you learn about yourself coming in third place?
That I can make it. That I could do it, that I got potential. Even though I knew that,
it just seemed more real to you.
You know, like I'm there. And then this was my second time actually doing the contest. The first time I actually didn't do that good. So it's lessons learned to this. The more you perform, the better you gonna get. If you do anything,
bro, you are a fucking mind, bro. All you gotta do is like practice, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would listen, man. I ain't gonna lie to you, dog. I add that in my show. I add that shit in my show, man.
When it comes to this shit for real, it's showmanship, right? Look at this, man. You gotta think about this because you said you know about Strange Music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanna follow Tech after his performance. Because he go shut the shit down so crazy that if you follow me, you can't follow him just walking around grabbing your dick.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? This nigga, they was up there, him and Chris Calico. Them niggas up there dressed, face paint, dressed in what's them?
Nun uniforms and priest and shit.
And shit and dancing, you feel what I'm saying? Giving a show because people come for the show.
Right. Listen, add that into your show, bro. Listen, nigga. You add that into your show and niggas go not know your name and they be like, the rapping mind, nigga. And that shit go viral, nigga, because they don't, first of all, people don't understand how much of being a mind is an art form.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? All you got to do is do it in one of your videos and you probably can dance and shit. Because you was on the praise team, bro. So you got to, that's performing at its highest level. You know what I'm saying? On his most critical stage, because Christians are critical. So, you feel me? So incorporate that shit, bro. Like, it's entertainment.
It's your toolbox.
You already got certain tools in your toolbox that other motherfuckers, a nigga who started when he was 14 can't become a mind quicker than you could just practice and add that to your toolbox. It's all individuality, bro. Use what's in your toolbox to get to the next level. I went from not placing to coming in third. Damn, what can I add? That's gonna make me number one. Let me bust this shit out real quick. Yeah. Next time, boom, you number one. Boom. I was myself. I wasn't different from nothing. I was just myself. Mm-hmm. Me being myself ain't different from shit. Cause I ain't competing with y'all. I'm just different from y'all.
Yeah.
Being myself. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. If people want to get at you, where they can look at where they can get you at.
Well, you can get me at on Instagram. Baby Will 4684 BABYWILL 4684.
Okay.
My YouTube is I Am Baby Will. I Am Space Baby Will. I'll be dropping on there consistently. I'm doing all videos 2024, guaranteed.
Okay, that's dope, man. And then, man, we appreciate you coming, man. Like I said, we had already put in our mind if somebody reach out, we getting on it.
Right.
So you living proof of that. You feel what I mean? And we appreciate you reaching out, man. And like I said, man, I'm excited to just pay attention to your journey. I can feel it on you. You got it. You want to do it, man.
Yeah.
And, man, we appreciate you for coming. SJ, if they want to follow us, where can they go?
The Connected Experience. YouTube, The Connected Experience Podcast Visuals. That's pretty much it, man. Like, shit. And y'all can go to Tubi and type in Animal Instinct, The Urban Jungle. Check out the internationally awarded anime full-length feature film that is a direct depiction of Animal Instinct, The Urban Jungle, the award-winning best-selling novella by yours truly. We got some executive producers on that, and Shelby, Ayana, and Ava are executive producers on that, and they get to see their names when they come on and come off. Yeah. And Shelby said, with that, what about when Uncle AJ knew Baby Cup? Why he not on there? And I said, well, why they not on there? And I said, because they wasn't here. Yeah, that's something y'all got up on them. That y'all got to cut him in.
Because I waited to see what the baby was at birth.
Old school shit. I'm Santuan.
I'm Antoine.
I want for my brother what I want for myself.